us to get right into the Word today. And I'm going to talk to you about what to do in a strange land. What do you do in a strange land like we're in right now? And I know we've all been through a lot of things in our lifetimes, but this is probably the strangest. I mean, this is just crazy. Now, we lose loved ones, and that's in a class of its own. It's odd. It's awkward. You don't know what to do. It just feels so final. It's just crazy. But this is a strange, strange place, and no one can figure it out, and it's global, and it's just out there. So one thing I want to remind you of this morning is to be mindful that Jesus went away, but the Holy Spirit came. Say it with me. Jesus left. The Holy Ghost came. Jesus sent him back. He said, when I get with my Father, I will pray to him, and I will pray that he will send another comforter just like me. And I am so glad that when Jesus himself spoke of the Holy Spirit, he spoke of him as a comforter. So that brings me to this issue. I got to tell you today, and it's nothing new, but a reminder, it is, that yesterday is gone. Yesterday is over, and it's done. It's obsolete. Today is a new day. It's a new season. It's a new time. And if you spend your days looking back to the way it used to be, see, this is what's hurting churches today. It's what's hurting pastors. It's why pastors are falling out and resigning and running away, because the challenge is great. Because you hear all kinds of voices. And there's only one of you. And especially when you don't have a spouse to talk to about it. That puts you in a whole different category. At least the husband and wife can go home and they can chat about it. Well, the pastor has to be careful who you talk to. In fact, you just don't. You don't talk. And so, anyway, it is a new day. That day's over and a new day's begun. So the little song that they sang in the Disney movie Frozen, you know what it is, those three words? What's the most famous song those little girls sing? Let it go. Let it go. My little angel used to say, let it go. Something like a Massimo. I don't think that's a word, but it's a Massimo. But we just got to let it go. And I mean, that's the movements of God of yesterday. Now, our church has done very well. I'm thankful for it. We started the old building. We built this building. We had the school going. We had... you know, our buildings that we've built here, and we've done a lot of things. We've had a lot of people saved, a lot of people have come, a lot of people have gone, but see, it's all over. That's done. It's over, it's obsolete, just like your phone is changing all the time. But God is doing a new thing among his people, and I think it is an exciting thing. And if there's one thing, I can't tolerate the things that I... dislike in my own life. I just cannot stand. I'll just give you a few little things. I can't stand stale bread. I don't eat bread these days, but there's times where I would be over at maybe in a restaurant or something. They brought the bread out and it was stale. Or packing my kids' lunch. I would say, Sarah, we need to get rid of that bread. It's stale. Mom, I just got it yesterday. Well, it's old now. And I don't like coffee over an hour old. Oh, I don't eat, and no, not even an hour. You know, you say, oh, you're just used to that Keurig pot. No, I didn't like it when it was 30 minutes old. If I went to Denny's where they say coffee's fresh all the time, I'd say, how long has the coffee been sitting there? Oh, we just made it. I said, when? 45 minutes ago. I said, well, okay, I'll have one, and they bring it out, and I smell of it. I mean, I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm just saying, could you make fresh pot? I just can't do that. You smell that old coffee? Now, my husband used to drink that old cowboy coffee, and it was like 10 days old. And you could stand the stick up there, or the spoon up in it. Well, I just couldn't do that. And I like fresh food. So I like Panera. Their food's fresh. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't eat leftovers. I don't talk about you who eat leftovers. I don't talk about you who take your food home from the restaurant, like certain people I know. Man, they're like, box it up, box it up. Like, Lyndall, you're going to eat that? Yeah, it's going to be my dinner. I'm like, ooh, me. Tomorrow's food. How can you eat today's food tomorrow? I don't know. Maybe I just let it sit too long and it grows that funny stuff on top. You know what I'm saying. So I just don't like it. So I guess that those kind of things that are petty inside me, not going to blame others that do. I might tease you a little bit, but anyway, those little things that are in me maybe have caused me to be as I am in the Word. I don't like leftover words. And as soon as I have somebody tell me, or the evangelist is here, and he tells me he has, I've got a dozen sermons in my briefcase. Or he says, well, that's better than so-and-so. They've got five, and they preach them over and over. A lot of times you don't see them come back. You know why? Because I'm not going to serve you leftover food, because I can't stand it. Now, some sermons deserve repeating. We know that. But this Bible is fresh, and we've got a Holy Spirit that knows how to dig into the wells of salvation, and he knows how to dig into the Word, and he can take one scripture, and he can preach it as many ways as he wants. But a fresh word, even when we lived on the road, I would always have a fresh word every night. We did five services a week. So I wouldn't hear Laney and Doyle. They would be hearing the same sermons over and over and over because I know how evangelists do. They never use their Bible. Why not? They've got it memorized. They don't have to use their Bible. Well, now I'm giving you those secrets, I guess. But I don't want to have a God of yesterday. I want a God of the right now. See, I don't want to rest on my experience. When my husband and daughter died, where he brought me way up here, that's over, that's done. I need a new experience right now, today. No, we founded the church. It was a big deal. I mean, a few weeks ago, you're always having these experiences with God. But after a week, it's like, it was good and it's awesome. But if I'm not going to drink coffee an hour old, I want God every day, a now God, not a he was God. I know he's coming. I was thinking this morning, we were in the studio getting ready to record, and we were with the man who wrote the song Lighthouse, and when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, and oh my goodness. I won't call his name, but he's written so many awesome, awesome, awesome songs. Beautiful, powerful, God, full of the Spirit. But he backslid. And he's not in church. He's out there, man. He's out there. And he's in the studio that day. So I go over to him, and I said to him, called him by name. We were talking. We knew each other. And I said, brother, tell me something. How could you write a song like that that you just turned out and it went to the top of the charts? How did you do that living where you are right now? Everybody knew he wasn't right with God. He didn't hide it. It's just who he was, but he kept coming in and recording. I said, how do you do that? And his answer was one of the saddest things I've ever heard, and I never forgot it. He said, I rest on yesterday's inspiration. Now, how do you like that? Renee, out of all the places you've been, all your years of ministry, how would you like to live on yesterday's inspiration? I don't want to do that. It just does not work. You're right. It will pull you down. It'll make you old in the spirit. But what did God's word say? Even when Jesus was teaching us to pray, he said, ask for my daily bread. See, he wants us to have daily bread. He wants us to have fresh fire. Even in the temple, the jobs of the priest were to keep fresh oil in the lamps, to keep fresh bread on the table. You know, when they have communion, it was never old. One time we had communion, and I tasted grape juice, and it was how would I say, rancid? Old? I thought, oh my, we're going to get drunk on this. What is this stuff? Well, the thing was, the bottle had sat in the refrigerator a long time, and the lady didn't want to throw it out because she was a little conservative, and so she put that stuff out there before us. And I said, honey, throw that away. Man, if you're going to, we're having communion, don't give us old juice. We're not going to do that. We're not going to eat old crackers. I'll be humiliated to serve God's people, Jesus' body, which is old. Say, well, he is 2,000 years old. But he's fresh. He's fresh yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's always fresh, and he made us just like him. He wants us to be the same today and tomorrow and always be the same. It doesn't matter what we're going through. So I always want fresh oil and fresh fire. I don't want some old crazy fire. Now, if we're going to want to be victorious in him, I want you to turn your Bible. I hardly know where to go this morning. Into Psalms 137. We'll just start right here. Get over there. I'll just give you just a tad out of this. But the Bible says in Hebrews over and over, today, if you will hear his voice. He didn't say yesterday. And he said it three times in one chapter. He said, today, if you will hear his voice. That's why I wanted you to come up this morning. I felt like the Spirit of the Lord said, come up here. I want to speak to my people. I just want them. You're going to talk to them, but I want them to hear what I say. And some of you got something, but some of you didn't, simply because you didn't have it trained your senses yet to hear his voice. That's the only reason you didn't hear, if you didn't hear. Because you're afraid maybe it was you that was speaking to you. Because maybe he spoke something so sweet and so encouraging or correcting or rebuking or whatever it may have been. But he speaks, and he kept saying, today, if you will hear my voice. Because listen, church, look at me. If we do not hear his voice today, believe me, you're going to hear somebody's voice. You will hear somebody's voice. And depending on which voice you hear, it will either pull you down and create a stronghold, or it will build you up. So we've got a goal here today. I want to tell you what to do in this strange land, because we cannot listen to those, because they will be our downfall. All right, I want us to learn from Israel first, and then from David. They both, the people of Israel and David, they both handled this strange land in different ways. Now, all of us, we all get into strange places sometimes. But again, this is the strangest place. Shannon, wouldn't you agree? You've been in some strange places, honey, like the rest of us. But this whole thing is very, very strange. So let's look at the way the people of Israel did it, and then the way David did it. And I know you're very familiar with Psalms 137. You should be. It's one of my favorite chapters. All right, look. By the rivers of Babylon, they were in bondage. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. When? When we remembered Zion. We remembered the old church. Oh man, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For those who carried us away captive asked of us a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. We want to hear you sing now in this strange land. They were mocking the people of Israel. Verse 4. Here's what the people of Israel said, God's people. How shall we sing the Lord's song in this foreign land? And then David says, oh, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. For if I do not remember you, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. But the people sat there and they began to remember the way it used to be. Oh man, do you ever talk to somebody as they get older and they're constantly talking about the way it used to be? We had this house and we had that, and when I worked and when I was employed and when the children were babies and we remember those times. Oh, I've been guilty of it myself. But we've all talked about the good old days in the church. The times of growing up. Sometimes you'll hear me say in the old church day. We experienced this, those long meetings and this, that, and the other. We talk about the things we experienced in the 90s right here in this house, in the old house. Talk about the revivals of years gone by. But I don't want you and me to be like these people who were in bondage and they sat down and wept when they remembered Zion. They wept. See, we're in this place, but let's not weep about it. Let's not look back and whine and complain about the way it was. Oh, we hung our harps. He said, it even gets worse here. They said, oh, when we remembered, we cried our eyes out and we just hung our harps up, said our singing days are over. It's over. Got no place to praise, got no place to sing. We just hung them in the willow trees because our captors, see, now they're starting to listen to their captors. The ones that took them captive kept shouting. No, they didn't whisper. They shouted in their ears, sing us a song of Zion in this strange land. Because they knew they were remembering Zion. They were remembering the old temple. Now sing us one of those songs you used to sing, you losers. And you know what? They just hung the harps up. We can't. We just can't do it. We just can't sing. Well, I want you to, if you can, now don't turn over to 2 Samuel, but write this down, because I want you to read it when you get home. I can tell you the story, but just read it later. 2 Samuel 16. Write down 2 Samuel 16, verses 7 and 8. Okay, so David has the throne. He's living in Jerusalem, and his evil son named Absalom, many of you know the story. Read it later when you get there, okay? You've got to see this. So Absalom, his son, and all of his evil people are trying to take over the throne. Now he's got a lot of people trying to take the throne over. So they overthrew David. They put him out. They chased him out of Jerusalem. And they chased him off the throne. And now you'll see what David did when he got in that strange land. In this 2 Samuel chapter 16, the evil voices said, David, you are a bloodthirsty man. You evil man, you're nothing but a rogue. You do everything in your way, the way you want to do it. You're a selfish man, you bloodthirsty man. Call him, you worthless dog. Oh, all kinds of things they told David. And David heard these accusations in his ears constantly. And if you're not careful, church, you will hear these sayings in your ear and the devil accusing you. It's your fault, David. Look what you did. You're bloodthirsty. I mean, you killed a lot of people. This is your fault, and God is repaying you for your ugly sin. And then he makes him feel guilty and shameful. I was in my secret place the other morning, and I never answer my phone when I'm there. I don't look at the news. I don't look at Facebook. I don't do anything. When I'm in that secret place, I give total attention to God. It's just him and me. I won't bring anything else into that secret place. But the phone rang. And I looked at it. And I saw this number. Didn't know what number it was. How many of you know you don't answer numbers you don't know? How do you like those telemarkers? Yeah, don't say anything. So, anyway, I look at that. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, no, get that one, pick that up. And I hesitated, I don't know. And I picked it up. And there was a woman on the other line. And she was crying so hard, I could hardly understand her. And this woman, it was as though, see, when I hear these things and I get messages. And it was as though this woman was in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And she was hearing these voices say to her, you good-for-nothing woman. Look who you were trying to be today, and you are nothing. You raised your kids the way you raised them. Look how they are. This is all your fault. You're worthless. Do not call yourself a woman of God. So these voices had grown so big in her ears. She was overwhelmed. Though she loves God with all of her heart, I know her. She loves him. But she was overwhelmed, ready just to hang her harp up on the willows and say, I just can't do it. I'm here by myself. I don't know how to, what is it? It's just that voice, you bloodthirsty woman. You rogue. You know, all kinds of stuff. Well, I'll tell you what happened with David. He was chased and chased until he was totally exhausted. And there were people running with him, and they were exhausted, and they were totally, absolutely worn out. So they get up there, and one of David's men said, David, do you want me to go take his head off? Who does he think he is that he can talk to the man of God like that? And David said, no, I don't do that. Oh, he was cursing. I mean, the Bible just says when you see it, you'll see he was cursing and cursing and cursing. And they were even throwing rocks at David and his people. Said, you want me to go take his head off? And David said, no, don't do that. Listen to this. He said, it just might be that God will repay me for this cursing I'm getting right now. So you got to remember, see, when you walk in faith and you know there's some ugly things that are trying to, or not trying to, they are attacking you. You've got to remember when you're a man and a woman of faith, when you're in a strange land, that there will be things that will happen that will be miraculous that only God could bring out. And always remember that it just could be that God is going to repay you for that cursing you got from the enemy in your ear. Who will you listen to? Well, right here during all this, the Bible says that David and his people refreshed themselves there. I had to read that again. I'm like, what? How did they refresh themselves right in the middle of all this screaming and rock throwing and evil? Remember when David said he prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies? He must have prepared a secret place right there. And David said, we refreshed ourselves there, right there. And you know what I'm telling you today? Get fresh with God. Get very fresh and stay fresh with him. So that right here in this place, when we're hearing all kinds of threats, that you can refresh yourself today and tomorrow and the next day. Just be refreshed. It doesn't matter. Okay, so I want you to see now, during the middle of all of that, you're very familiar, you should be maybe, with Psalms 42. Look at, I think it's Psalms 42. Go over to 42 and 43. You want to read both of those. We're going to read some of it right now. But I want to show you how David handled it. Okay, remember David's exhausted? I mean, just totally worn out. Now, the people of Israel hung their harps upon the tree and said, how can we sing in this strange land? You've already seen where David and the people refreshed themselves there. And he was expecting, maybe God's going to repay me for all this mess I'm going through. All right, Psalms 42, look at verse 1. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Do any of you remember those times where you had tears day and night? Maybe you were crying for your children or your spouse or for you. Something was going on. You were losing your business. But your tears became your food day and night as you interceded with God and talked to him. Now, I remember I was doing a women's conference in the 80s. For Women's Glow. And I'll never forget the first time that I heard that little song. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longing after you. And I heard that song and I thought, oh my goodness. That song, listen to that. And it was describing what I felt. God, I'm chasing after you. And then Tommy Denny writes, God Chaser. Woo, it was a whole new day for us to get into chasing after God. Amen. He told us it's not about God's hand. It's about getting to his face. Turn his face like a little child will take your face and put that your face in his little hands. And say, look at me. So he says, oh man, my heart pants for the water. Well, we were up in Colorado, at Grand Junction, Colorado. I'll never forget it. Pastor came over to take us to lunch, and so it's deer season in Colorado. And I mean, you've never been in deer season until you go to Colorado, especially around Grand Junction. It's just wild and crazy, and everyone's got a pickup truck, and most of them have a deer in it. I swore that some of them just went and bought one and put it in there because they all had one. And they all were bragging about their story. You go into a restaurant, you're hearing those men sit there in those camouflage clothes. I get so tired of seeing those clothes. I mean, everywhere you went, those men were dressed like a tree. And so they got these deer in the back, and the girls are fascinating, these big horns. And so we're sitting there, and I said to the pastor, who was Jack Dennis, I said, Jack, listen. I said, I just came from a conference, and this song was brand new. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul pants after you, or after thee. I said, does a deer really pant for the water? Is that what he was talking about? He said, exactly. He said, did you know a deer only pants? He only pants when he is running from an enemy. Dogs pant all the time. That's why I don't have one. But, you know, with all the drool and stuff. Well, anyway, but the deer only pants once, and that's when he is running from the enemy. And then he looks for a watering hole, or he looks for a lake, or he looks for a river, and he looks for a little stream, something where he can get in that water. And the pastor told us that when he gets in, if he can get to the water, see, because he said they spend a lot of water out of their body by running. They run so hard, they get so exhausted, they lose a lot of their body water. And so they, just instinct says, get in the water. Well, they're running from the enemy. And if they can find the water, they can get in the water, and the enemy loses the smell of its tracks. Isn't that amazing, the instinct God puts in these animals? I mean, all animals, all people, we have instinct too. But they get in the water, and then the enemy loses their scent. But he says, if the water is deep enough, that little deer can get all the way under, and he just leaves his nose out. They can swim. And he says, the nose sticks out so he can breathe. So amazing. And then we started talking about this verse. And he said, it's exactly what David meant when he said, as a deer pants for the water, Lord, my soul is panting after you. What do you mean? Dear God, I'm running from this evil enemy. This Shimei is after me. They're threatening these horrible things. It's all I've heard for weeks and weeks is how low down I am, and I'm no good, and I'm not a king, and Absalom's trying to take me out. My own son is shouting these evil things, and he just couldn't take it anymore. He said, Lord, my soul, it's panting. I can't take anymore. I'm done. I'm just through. But he knew what to do when he got to that point. And we've all been there. We've all been there. We were like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And so he gets over to God, who is the water. He just jumps in the water just like the deer does. And he said, my soul, verse 2, look at this. Psalms 42 and 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night while they continually say to me, where is your God? This is what these voices will say to you. Where is your God? When a person loses a loved one, sometimes the first thing they want to say is, I've served God all this time and this isn't fair. My loved one passed. Or I serve God, I paid my tithes, and now look how broke I am. Well, where did you put the other 90%? Did you put it in a bag with holes in it? T.D. Jakes teaches this. He said, you know what the people of God do? He said, they're kind of funny. I said, you think? He said, the people of God will spend their wants and beg their needs. Spend all their money on their wants, but when it comes to the deeds, paying the mortgage payment, paying this, doing that, then they got to go try to borrow that money and make it up. And so don't be talking about how good we are. I serve God, and he did this to you, and he did this to me. Because listen, you're going to have enough enemies telling you that you serve God and how good you are and what you should have done, and you're a tither and you're a blesser, and yet look what's happening to you. Oh, he accuses that. He will bring that to you. So there's no need for you to have to pity yourself. But if you're not careful, you hear all these other voices, and it will turn into self-pity. You begin to feel sorry for yourself, and then just go on down to the party store and get a little hat and put it on your head, wrap it around, get your little whistle and blow it every now and then, have yourself a big old party, and don't forget the birthday cake. Get it over there. I'm just saying, that's what's going to happen if you're listening to the wrong voice. It turns into a pity party, and then you want everybody else to come to that party with you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. People do not like going to pity parties. You can walk out the doors of this church and somebody wants to meet you and have a pity party with you. And what do? You see people start backing away while they say, I ain't got no party hat today. I forgot it. So David said, Lord, my soul thirsts for you. Man, I'm after you. I'm not after what they're saying to me on Facebook. I'm not going to Facebook to find out how many likes I got or how many whatever they do. God, I'm not going there. I'm coming to you. My soul thirst for you, O God. And my tears have been my food. He said, they continually say to me, where is your God? Now, I want us to go a little deeper in this. Some of you are going to like it, and some of you are going to throw it out. Well, don't throw the baby out with the water. And eat the meat and throw away the bone. And that'll keep us healthy. But I want to ask you, do y'all remember when you used to... Maybe some of you are panting after God right now. I think probably many of us, most of us, are going after him hard because we've never seen anything like this. But if the way you used to be is only a memory to you, that's going to drag you down. Do you remember when you didn't care how it looked when you danced? You didn't care how it sounded when you thumped the Bible? You didn't care how it looked? You had to live up to it. You didn't mind living holy before God. You wanted to do everything you can. But now, as the old Chinese man said, you just kind of coolie offy. No time for cooling offy. There's no time. It's got to be fresh fire, fresh oil, and the glory of God's church every single day. But look what David said. Now, remember this, and I'm closing, starting to close. David's being chased out of Jerusalem, the place that he loved. He said, oh God, if I hang my harp up and don't sing, may my words cleave to, my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I don't thank you for Jerusalem, his presence, the place where God stayed. Now look what he says. He's running from the enemy. They're throwing rocks, whispering all kinds of evil, shouting all kinds of evil. Absalom, his son, is trying to take the throne. And here's what David's concerned about, and David talks to God about this. Look at verse 4. David said, when I remember these things, oh God, I pour out my soul within me. I just lay it all out on the table. He said, for I used to go with a multitude. I used to go with them. I went with them to the house of God. With a voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. He said, I used to get to hang out in the church, in the temple. I loved going there. I ran with a multitude. Man, we worshiped and we praised and we feasted on the good things of God. I used to go with them, but I can't do that now. I heard the voice of joy and praise. I was met with a multitude and we kept a pilgrim's feast. A pilgrim, a stranger. But we feasted together. And I'm thankful that you're here today. And I want to encourage the rest of you. I pray that you will get David's heart. And when you remember, oh, I used to run with them down there at the church. I used to run with that multitude, and I would go in and worship, and I'd come down around the front, but I don't do that anymore. Maybe that will be the thing that gets to you the most. Out of all the listening and all the mess and all the stuff. And I can't even tell you where we will be next week. I'm not boasting or bragging because we're here. Who knows what this crazy state governor's going to do? We don't know. I don't know if we'll be here next week, but I plan to be. But I'm just saying, if we are, why don't you come and run with your people? Run with your people. We sing and we worship. You're not going to get to do that. You say, oh, I can do it at home. Oh, no, you know what's going to happen to you at home? You're going to dry up. You're going to stop watching. And you're going to start watching maybe next week and then totally fall off from that. And if you don't want to go to Landmark, go somewhere, but get yourself a church so you can run with God's people. You're going to be running with somebody anyway. It's only 1 hour a week. Man, if you go to Costco, it takes you 2 or 3 hours. If you go to Walmart, it's probably going to take you at least an hour, unless you're me. I just go in and get it and get out. It's going to take you a long time. They just about got to tie me down at the nail shop. I can't stand to sit there 45 minutes. I can't. But I do. We were outside. We finally got to go in. She came to my house for a while. I didn't like that either because I just don't like to sit there that long. But we set all kinds of places. But I thought, this is the king. He's got enemies going after him. He had a throne. He loved the temple. He loved going to the church. He goes, but the thing that bothers me isn't all that mess. Said, I can't run with my people. I'm like, oh God, help us. There's people that might hang your song upon a tree and say, I'll be back as soon as the glory comes in. I'll be back as soon as I see what God is going to do. You better not wait because you might miss it because you'll be anorexic by that time. I know everybody doesn't fall into this category. Some can read at home, and some will read at home, and some will pray at home, and some will intercede at home. But the majority will grow stale, like stale bread, like old coffee, like leftovers that grow stuff on it. Not a pretty sight. Said, oh God, so what do we do when we get in a strange land? First thing you do is get to water, like the deer. Just get to water. Get to God. God is the water. The Holy Spirit is the water. Holy Spirit is referred to as water. Jesus left, the Holy Ghost came. And he's our friend. He is so our friend, church. Oh, Lord, he is always with us. Always good. I remember hearing you teach Lloyd, years ago when I was maybe 16, I hear you sit today, just sitting here taking in the word still. Some of you have been in the church so many years, Wanda, there you sat. I remember you at Calvary Assembly years ago. She just turned 90 the other day, but here she sits. Why? Because she loves her people. She doesn't go home with us. She doesn't know most of us in this crowd. When I say Wanda, you'll say, describe her to me. Like we do in most cases. But she wants to be. It's not so much about being with us. It's about being in his presence. Amen. Why are you back, Shannon, in a strange land? I've got to get back to the watering hole. I've got to get back to the water. Why did she come back? Because one day she just did what David did, and she poured her heart out to God. See, You've got to get over there and be honest with yourself, because the devil's not honest with you. He is a liar and the father of lies.
Yes.
We were raised on the words, the devil is a liar. We were raised on that word. Those three words, the devil is a liar. Have four, whatever. And we knew that, but we still believed him anyway when he came and talked to us. So David said, I poured out my heart before God. Man, my tears were just coming all the time. 24 hours a day I had tears. But you notice once he got to God, they began to dry up. And then, because he couldn't go to church with his people, he couldn't be in the throne. He said, the rest, God will take care of all that. But I just want to go worship with some folks. I just got to be there. I want to hear the sounds of rejoicing. Yeah. And then he starts talking to himself. You say, don't do that. Oh, no, too late. Verse 5, he says, oh, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? That means pushed down or depressed. Literally means depressed. Depressed means to be pushed down. Isaiah said to be crushed like powder. Why are you so disquieted within me, O soul? David says, hope in God, for I will yet praise him. And for the help of his countenance, I will take his countenance. It will be help to me. I will hope in him. Now, let me tell you something. And again, I'm really getting close to closing now. Before we were saved, our soul had been in charge. We did everything that our flesh, our body, and our souls wanted to do. If it wanted to do it, you did it. If it wanted to cuss and swear, well, you used those horrible words. You just did. If you wanted to sleep around, you did that. If you wanted to drink a little here and a little there, you did that. You wanted to whatever, you just did it. But then you got saved. And Jesus came into your heart. And when he came in, your spirit awakened and your spirit got up. And your spirit started to take charge and it said, oh no. Your soul wanted to do this, but your spirit said, no, we're not doing that anymore.
Hallelujah.
And then your old soul just whimpered like a little puppy dog. It had control for so long, and now your spirit has risen up and said, no. You wanted to lay there. You didn't want to get up. You don't want to do this. You don't want to read. You don't have time to read. You're tired. You don't want to pray. It's an effort. No, you're not going to drink that. No, you're not going to run with that person. They're evil and they're pulling you down. No, you're not going to deal with that stronghold in your life anymore. And your spirit begins to take control. And this is why David said, my hope is in the Lord. I've laid it all out before him. My hope is in him. And look at this. It says, I will receive the help of his countenance. That's why when I bless you and you bless your children at home, you use the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause what? His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and may his countenance shine upon you. So David knew that, and he said, my help is his countenance. But look at verse 11. He says it again. Boy, whenever God repeats up two or three times in the word, it means this is serious. Very important. Verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted? Why are you depressed? Why are you down in the dumps within me? And then he gives himself the answer. He's talking to himself. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now, he throws in his own countenance and his God. I can go to my daughter's house, and she will say to me, Mom, what's the matter? Nothing, honey. No, Mom, what's the matter? I can see it in your face. I see it right here. What's the matter? Our faces give us away. And I notice people that are wearing masks, you know, it's so sad. You're in a mall or wherever you are. You go out to eat and you pass people in the street, and sometimes you can see they're smiling at you by the way they squint their eyes. I hate not being able to see people smile. I hate that. But for the most part, we can hide a few things, but it comes out in our face. People will give it away every time, especially if you're kind of an emotional person. It'll show up. But David says, oh, I will hope in the Lord, and my the help of my countenance and my God. He said, oh no, I had God's countenance first. And then he says, my countenance and God's countenance, which means God's face shines on my face, and then it makes my face look like his face. Let me give you one more. Chapter 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, the third time? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Says it the third time. Now my face is going to get some help from God. His countenance is our shine, church. And he said, during this time, we don't have to get disquieted within our souls. We don't have to get down in the dumps and push down. I believe this is probably one of the hugest opportunities that we have ever had in our generation to see God do the miraculous things that he wants to do. So don't forget to sing in the strange land when the enemy mocks you. I said, now let's see you sing this song, the songs of God in a strange land. Let's see you do it now. Go ahead and do it. Go do your little party and say, I can't. I'm so sad. No, you go ahead and say. You go ahead and lay all your stuff out before God. Get to the watering hole. Lay it all out. And then after that, talk to yourself. So you're not going to act that way. My spirit's in charge. We don't do that anymore. The old song we were raised on again, an old song. Don't look for me to be, listen, just like I used to be. There's been a change in me. I found a better way. I may not boast so proud, and I may not boast aloud, but I'm bound for heaven now. I found a better way. Oh, don't look for me to go where I used to go before. Listen, I don't go there anymore. I found a better way. Don't look for me to say the things I used to say before. I don't say them anymore. I found a better way. Oh, I found a better way. Brighter paths for my feet. My heart has joy so sweet. I found a better way. Since I found a church and I found a place to pray, and there I found the Lord, I found a better way. Did I leave a verse out? I like that part that says, don't look for me to go where I used to go before. I don't go there anymore. I found a better way. Oh. Because now your spirit's in charge. I may not boast
so loud, and I may not look so proud. But I'm bound for heaven now. I found a better way. Oh, I found a better way. Brighter paths for my feet.
Thank you. that's your mama's song. I know it, girl. I knew you knew it because I heard your mom and brother and family sing it. Whew. Dude, how many found a better way? How many found a better way? You better get that hand up. Somebody better shout, I found it. I love that woman. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for a moment, dear Jesus. If there be anyone in this room or at home that has not found that better way, they haven't found it. Or maybe they turned around and went the other direction. I pray, Lord, that this morning they will find you. If there be anyone in this room that says, Pastor, pray for me. I want to repent of my ways. I want to turn and go the other direction. If you do, just lift your hand. We'll pray for you right now. People are being saved at home, being washed, being cleansed. So, Father, I praise you today. May you cleanse us and wash us and get everybody. Paul said, I used to kill people who were in the way. But then he didn't do it anymore. For, Lord, they were called the people of the way. And we are people of the way. Praise God. We have found a better way. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, as his countenance joins your countenance and your hope is in him. Amen. God bless you. I love you. I'll see you next week.